and technical capacities, I guess, or technical problems. There was a little dissension there for a while, but that was, I mean, that's a normal and a healthy kind of, that's a healthy part of any kind of a movement, I think, is to have disagreements. If it weren't for disagreements, you know, where would the movement be?
You couldn't question each other.
But sure, I mean, you can't really question your own roles or actions. But now, with periodic elected councilmen, you know, they're able to exchange ideas and just ways of dealing with the movement and giving it the strength it needs to make the impact to the non-Indians in the United States and all over the world.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, during the summertime, it seems like a lot more Indians, you know, will be living out there as residents. And I was wondering how that affected the ones that have been living there for so long.
Well, it's been a continual fluctuation of residents. Initially, there were some 150 college students from all over the, mostly in California. And they all returned to school during the winter quarter and the second semester. And now, I mean, everybody's helping one another. Some of the college kids go back to school to continue their education. And some of the dropouts come and take over. This gives everybody a chance to play what leadership roles they can and just to become involved in the movement, and they can identify with it. We have people off the streets, off the Indian people from the Indian communities in the Bay Area, from the reservation areas, all supporting the movement. So I think the whole, it's just a cross section of Indian people.
Yeah.
So.
You know, when I was back home, I heard some people that, you know, all the only type of communication or things they heard was like through some newspapers, which is like, you know, so big articles, just tiny ones, and then from the radio, and then from hearsay. And it seems like some of the people I talked to felt that it was, you know, going down, and they felt that Alcatraz would be, you know, peter out in a couple of months. And I was wondering whether they had that feeling is because they wasn't in direct contact with it, or whether the communication from here wasn't getting over there, or, you know, what was
sure, that's understandable. I mean, most of the major newspapers are establishment papers. And I think establishment papers will do anything to not let news out like this, because it's detrimental to the American society, despite our freedom of the press and all this stuff, you know. I think we've had underground papers from New York, underground papers in the Bay Area from Los Angeles have been covering the movement for us. But establishment papers controlled by Alioto, for instance, they can, newsmen, the press can control slant articles anywhere they want, they want.
Has Alioto really said anything about the whole thing?
Alioto has not said a thing. Before the Indians took over, about five Indians took over the island about 5 years ago, in 65, about a year after Alcatraz was closed. And I don't know what the particulars were in the back, you know, what happened exactly. But they took it in October, the first part of October, some students from Cal and SF State. And they were asked to leave. They left. And they returned a couple of weeks later to stay and build. Well, what, I don't know what El Yodo has said. El Yodo owns San Francisco just about.
Uh-huh.
He has a great deal of influence over the papers.
Hmm.
But I think not only is that a problem, I mean, with the press in the Bay Area, but the press all over the country, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's disseminating information like this, important information. From our viewpoint, I mean, that has to be gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I mean, this is why we have to try to make contact with people outside the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
in every state, in every city, and get the news out like this.
Do you guys want to ask anything?
Just did $3.
Oh, really?
We're out of questions.
Yeah. What are you... How will you be using the information that you get?
Are you familiar with the new foundation?
No.
Grants for American Indian Oral History. Most of this data will be available for Indian history classes at UNM. And it'll be available to bona fide Indian scholars.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a very good idea. I think it's a very good idea.
Hopefully we're going to start teaching history classes this semester, next semester, whenever. Did they get on the roll for this semester or not?
Right.
A bunch
of tokenism we're getting from
them.
Well,
fuck
taken.
You better believe it.
Even if it's tokenism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're aware that's tokenism, so just use it. And ask for more. There's definitely a need for it. Especially in the Southwest, where there's a great Indian population.
Oh, we just hit a little bit on Alcatraz, that's all. What else? What else do we say?
You know what I could do is, I've been trying to keep track of all the information that's been put out in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
I could make copies of it, and you could, like, put out your own newsletter
from
the
Native
American Studies. Just reproduce the whole,
mm-hmm.
all of it. Articles out of the war path.
Mm-hmm. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
No, I don't have the articles here. They're all at the office. I might have them here, just a sec.
Everybody's been doing that. Some of us weren't particularly impressed with some of the Indians we met today. Can you give us some kind of comment on what you feel the kind of students that are being attracted to this movement are, by and large, they pretty sincere, or are a number of them just coming because of the publicity and that sort of situation?
No, I don't think so. I think the majority of the people that now that are involved as residents and as leaders are very serious about what's happened. A lot of the people have experienced reservation life. They know what it's like to they know what the feeling is when their parents have to live on welfare, when they have to depend on the Bureau of Indian Affairs and their services, their families and relatives have to depend on the reservation, Bureau of Indian Affairs and PHS, and other government employment agencies just for a job, just for a livelihood, just to exist. I think a lot of half of the students, I'd say, that's just a guess, are families, are students that have been through the reservation schools. I can understand why you might have maybe had some problems in relating to the people. A lot of people have been interested in getting photographing and interviewing and just wanting information about the movement. I think the kind of a response has been, I mean, it's a healthy kind of response. They're being defensive. Did you find that?
It wasn't question. Around New Mexico, we get bugged quite a bit by what we call card-carrying Indians. You know.
Because it's just been a neat thing that's happened. They want to be part of it.
Right.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't see it in that way. I can only speak for myself. You know. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in Indian affairs like this for a long time, on and off a reservation before I came up here. I had completely gotten out of it in September because it just drained me emotionally and physically. Because I was aware that so much had to be done, and it takes really a lot of strength and a lot of patience to be able to do what the people are doing out the island. I don't think that a lot of them are just card-carrying kind of Indians. Hmm. Whether they're aware of it or not, it'll come out. I mean, that's...
Several.
If they're just on a groovy kind of a trip for their own ego interests, that won't last long.
Yeah. Well, while we were down to the pier this afternoon, there was several guys that I'm not so sure they were part of the group, but they were Indians. And I'd say they reminded me of riffraff. You know, the guys that hang out in the bars around Mission Street or something. Do you get a bunch of this bugging you?
Well, like I said earlier, we have all kinds of people involved in the movement. Initially, it was like educated Indians out there doing a thing. Some with bourgeois backgrounds. Some like Lenita Means. Who's been through the Indian ghetto scene in the Bay Area, but because of her wanting to liberate her own people, she's out there fighting. And the kinds of people that you met on the pier are people that were attracted to movement. These people, before the movement, hung out in the bars, out on the streets, with not a damn thing to do. That's why the movement's happening, because of people like that. Whether they're aware of their behavior now, or whether they're aware of the way they treat other people now. They're bound to learn from it in a few months or in a few years. But what's happened out there is just—it's just been tremendous, really. I think everybody that has been involved in the movement, one way or another, with all the hassles and all, will all have learned from it. I mean, how can people from diverse backgrounds, from all